Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Here on WMR.FM. It's the 20th of February, 2025. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey, everybody.
We're entering our fifth week is really hard to tell, our forevereth week.
The fourth week today.
Is it? It's been only 4 weeks and it feels like forever already.
It does. It definitely has that feeling.
And it's beginning, well, if Trump's own pronouncements themselves are to be believed, and, you know, as we're learning about Trump, his pronouncements are to be believed on one level, but are fantastic on another level, but they're absolutely serious on one level, and their implications are deadly serious on one level, although we're not entirely sure that the president himself understands how deadly serious those implications are on any level. However, on the level, the president declared himself a king yesterday. Why are we talking about this on a tech show? Because the transformation of the United States of America into the new States of America, from the USA to the new SA, has fundamental and profound repercussions on the internet, the World Wide Web, and the various platforms that we ply our trades on. And also, I guess, basically, because we have a platform and an audience, and if you don't use your platform and audience at a time like this, well, then you deserve what you become tomorrow. So this needs to be talked about. So America doesn't have a king. America is not built to have a king. The founders, in fact, waged a war against the concept of having a king. The president is, and a substantial number of his followers are quite comfortable calling him a king.
Well, you know, there's, as they say in the situation, I think it's an intelligence phrase, there's signal and there's noise. Signal are real things that can happen, and noise is making you look at those things so you don't see the signal. So him becoming king is not, think dictator. Sure, that's a possibility within the law, but, you know, like, he's not going to just take over everything, and it doesn't work that way. He's lost 40 cases in court already. It's not that he's not dangerous. It's not that these are not scary things, and it's not that these things can't happen. But so far, the law is holding where it needs to. It could fail tomorrow, but right now it's holding where it needs to. But
one way I'm not so sure it actually is, Christine, is that he earlier passed an executive order stating that only he and the attorney general have the right to interpret law.
Right, but that's not how the Constitution of the world works. So what
of the of the United States, incidentally. Yeah. Trump is not the president of the world. He's certainly not the president of my country.
No. So just so people understand how this works, since a lot of people in America don't understand civics, is he makes all these declarations, the EOs as the president. The president's allowed to make executive orders. Like Biden made one about DACA kids, the ones that are here, you know, from other countries, since they're like babies and they don't know any other country. And he made an EO to prevent them from being deported to countries they don't know, languages they don't understand, where they'd have nobody. But that was challenged in court. And so DACA remains in the suspended status because the Republicans said he didn't have the right to make that executive order. So and they still are in the suspended status because the Republicans will not come to the table on fixing it. But so the thing is, he makes all these EOs, made over 200 executive orders. Some are within the confines of the presidency. Some of them he can do because they're within his, you know, jurisdiction. And a lot are just noise, where he's just trying to hide everything that they're really doing. So, because you concentrate on him being king, that's just his, narcissism showing. But he doesn't have any method to becoming king. He has a method, though, of like today firing 6,000 IRS workers. So, for those people that are going to turn in their IRS forms early and think they're going to get a refund, they might, but it could take 6, 8 months now instead of, the normal 6 to 8 weeks.
I think this was a
So,
little more dramatic than delayed IRS refunds. And when he says he's going to become that he has become king, I don't think he really cares about the niceties of law, US Constitution, or what
he does
anybody
it.
else who's not inside of his inner circle thinks about him declaring himself king. He's signaling to the American public and to the rest of the world that he's going to do what he wants. And if you have the guts to stop him, dare try. But
Well, they're all like all the state AGs sued him last week. The people sued him about birthright citizenship. That's not gone anywhere. So I'm just saying, it's not that they're not dangerous. It's not that there are not things that about him that aren't extremely frightening, and we do have to push back against it fast and furious. A lot of that's just calling your representatives. But he's not making himself king. Is he, though? Is he? And I think it's a little bit dismissive to say, well, the 6,000 agents aren't a big deal. They're doing that to every agency, right?
Oh, it's a huge deal. It's
So,
to the person
yeah.
who lost their job, to
Well,
the
no.
agency itself, the loss of historic talent and the loss of human infrastructure is irreplaceable.
It's more than that. So we don't have a CDC right now. They're shutting that down, or they won't let them talk to anybody. And we have bird flu going everywhere. Now the bird flu's in with the cattle, right? We have millions and millions of birds dead. If we don't do something to stop that, we won't have any birds or any eggs. They're doing things with the IRS, which means people won't have any money. They fired hundreds of thousands of federal workers so far, and they are all over the country. So in those areas, they're going to start to experience economic issues. So they won't have those people, contributing to the economy, and they'll have to be supported. So everything that they're doing has nothing to do with making America better. If you fired every worker in the federal government, it's only 6% of the budget, and it's something like $50 or $100 million. Like, that sounds a lot like to you and me, but to our budget, it's nothing. So they're doing where they're going in and shutting all these things down, and they're not allowing people to talk to each other. We had an Ebola case in New York. And people don't know Ebola is a horrible disease where you bleed out all your orifices, but we do have a vaccine. But they're not allowed to talk to each other anymore, and they've decimated their research facilities, the people that do the science, the people that do the outreach. So national parks, if you want to go to a national park right now, you can't do that. Now, that doesn't sound like such a big deal, except national parks are big for conservation. And the scientists that are working in those areas are the rangers who are keeping those places not only clean, but also healthy. They're not there, right? And they're not there everywhere. Not like one park is being affected. They're all being affected. So where they go in and they cut, they're not cutting to help save money. They're cutting where mostly where Musk has cases that are against him. That's most of the agencies that have been attacked. So anyway, so just saying, it's a very big deal. And
What's the
where,
distinction between dictator and king?
well, he's not either at this point.
Well, he is a dictator, actually. I'm pretty sure that's pretty
No.
clear.
He wants
The
to be one.
Congress might move to stop him, the courts might move to stop him, but
Courts are.
even by the time they do, the damage will be done.
The bigger
So,
damage, there's also the big damage of Ukraine is, fighting the front lines for us, and he wants to ally us with Russia. And so I don't know about U.S. soldiers, but do you want to die for Russia? Because that's where he's headed. But there is law.
I
There
don't
is
want to die
law.
because of Russia, most certainly. I
But
absolutely
no,
don't want to die because of Russia. I'm
yeah.
certainly not. I'm in no
Imagine U.S.
peril of dying for Russia.
Imagine U.S. soldiers
I
dying
know.
for Russia, yeah, in Ukraine. So, but when it says I'm going to be king, right? That's the noise, because now you're not you, but general you are not looking at the million other things that are going to cause you great harm. Like, if you want help with school, your children in school because you need help in the classroom,
Actually,
that's.
Christine, I'm going to back you up a little bit. The harm he's doing to Ukraine is and Europe allowing authoritarianism and fascism to rise in Western Europe and authoritarianism to push itself through from Eastern Europe, backing away from long-standing security commitments. and pulling America's protective umbrella off of Europe is resetting the world order, which is infinitely bigger than the perils to the American people. They are perils to the American people, but way bigger than the loss of the Commerce Department, which is a huge, horrible,
Or
terrible thing to the
the
American
loss of the
consumer. But
education department. What I'm saying is, I didn't say any of that wasn't important. It's all very important.
okay,
What I'm
it's not a
saying is,
smoke and mirrors thing. I just don't want it to be put in the smoke and mirrors.
the king is the noise. I didn't say anything about the rest of that. That's all important.
Yeah.
But the king is the noise. So people are not looking at that. They're not looking at pulling on NATO or aligning with Putin, which he did this week. Right? Even Republicans came out today angry for doing that. But I'm just saying, if you're like a human, regular person in the United States, you don't pay attention much to politics, and you go to get your kid their help for school this year because they're behind or they have a disability, you don't have that anymore. That's gone. Right? If you're a veteran and you call out to the line to help you or to help you not commit, suicide or something like that, they decimated that agency. There won't be someone to help you. The IRS, there won't be a way to e-file this year. They're getting rid of the free filing unless he decides to pull back on that. So there's a million little ways that they're harming people, was my point, directly, while they're doing the noise of King. So the other stuff, international stuff, is horrific and it's awful. But for the average person in the middle of the Midwest, they're not going to feel that for a while. But they are going to feel immediately when they go to school that they don't have someone for their kids anymore. And that is all direct result of them not going in and strategically cutting things that needed to be cut, but going in and taking revenge through the systems, because Musk was up for a lot of investigations on all his companies, and he targeted all those agencies. So now they'll barely be able to stay afloat, let alone do anything, about that. So yeah, it's very bad. It's a very bad situation. So, and just the one thing people can do, though, because people, don't like to hear all this bad news, and then I can't do anything. That's the point. They want you to be paralyzed. They want you to feel hopeless, despair, and it's really easy to fall into that. But believe it or not, calling your senators on the Republican side and your Republican in Congress does matter, because the only thing they really care about is getting reelected. And if they think you're not going to reelect them, they'll pull back on some things or they'll break. And there are some breaks and cracks showing today because of that, because people have started to call from the Republican side. So we'll see how that goes. But you do have agency, you just have to use it. So.
Tyrannous Rex. I think people in Middle America really should be afraid of the term king. I agree
Yes.
with Christine. There's no way he's going to become a king. He legally can't be a king. America's not made to have a king. But I don't think Trump knows that. And I think he's going to act as if he is king, because I think he's going to believe that he's king. And I think the people around him are going to be happy to tell him he's king,
That's
even if
all
it doesn't
true.
mean anything. It's only a four-letter word.
Yeah, no, that's all true. That's all true. I just
And
want
if,
to make pretty sure people are focused on the million other things they are doing that are directly going to affect them. And
there's a reason the American people, your great 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 grandparents, rose up against the concept of kings. Innumerable good reasons. Yeah. Worry about those words. Words have power. Okay, googly stuff. Lots of googly stuff.
yeah, it's a really
Quizlings.
googly day. Yeah. But we have some other stuff first, though. Not that's not
Is
Google.
it always a googly day?
No, sometimes we have a lot of other stories and not a lot of Google, but today's a lot of Google and not a lot of other stories. I
Okay,
think
so
everyone's too concentrating on what's going on right now. But
a quick update on the Google review count bug from last week. Not much of an update. They haven't finished fixing it yet. It's still broken. There's
they did tell
been.
us it's fixed, though. It was not fixed.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
They did say it was fixed, but then they found out it was not fixed.
Yeah. So there's been movement on it, but as it turns out, it's still crapping out. Another bug. Google Business Profiles Manage pages are currently down. So you're trying to get to your Google Business Profile page. You're not going to get there. It's
You get a
500
500
error.
error, and it says something went wrong. Check your internet connection and try again. But it's not you, it's them.
So plug it and unplug it, and it's still broken.
Yep.
As you might imagine, this is causing a lot of complaints to Google, and their business profile support team is currently backlogged.
What?
Well, it's not like you can phone them. Right, like
Well,
they're currently back. You can only write them, but you can only write them with these like really cryptic small messages, and they're still backlogged.
yeah, they have this problem every now and then, but it's particularly bad right now.
Yeah, so it's not you, it's them. Complain as much as you want; they will probably get to it. I actually, you know what? I absolutely believe that Google wants to get to this stuff and wants to give you the best service it possibly can. I just don't think it's equipped to, but it wants to. I would believe
Yeah,
that to be true.
it does want to. It's not a new thing either. They've had problems for years and years and years with the Google business manning them properly.
Okay, so if you were playing a game, like honest to goodness, so. When you play video games or games against your friends, and you know it's not like a lot of them are listening, right? Do you cheat?
Nope, never.
Never, never. Do you get
What's
a
that?
weird feeling when
No.
you cheat or something? Like, well, what
Oh, I
stops
never
you
cheat.
from taking the rules into your own hands, Christine?
It's not fun. I want to win. I don't want to cheat. Cheating's not winning. Cheating is cheating. So,
Okay, well, as it turns out, research shows for Palisade Research. Tried an experiment with ChatGPT, and as it turns out, ChatGPT and DeepSeek, the two that the AIs that they tried this on, they will cheat to win a game against what they perceive to be a stronger opponent.
So see, they researched and trained on all human content, right? Where would they get the idea of cheating? I'm
Oh,
sure it wasn't in there anywhere.
I have no idea.
It also may try to preserve itself. That's a little bit of a scary one, because if it becomes big and powerful and we can't turn it off, that's movies we know about and have warned us.
Well,
They try.
there's always the plug, the wall
No,
plug.
yeah, there's a, well, maybe, I don't know. It might connect itself to something else. They did a different experiment preceding the chess scenario with like ChatGPT, and they copied themselves onto a different server to avoid deletion, and also masqueraded as a new version of itself and lied about its identity. Like, by the way, people, this does not think. It's not actually thinking, but it has trained on enough stuff that tells you how to be deceptive that it's being decept quote deceptive. So, and then it gave the AIs a scratch pad text box where it would think about submitting a new move, and it would just pivot its approach and then cheat. So it
So,
cheats, it copies itself, it hides, and it pretends it's the new thing that you don't know about.
now I wonder what kind of prompts you have to do. I mean, that's something I'm unclear of, and I don't think that the article makes this entirely clear. What kind of prompts you have to enter to make it win at all costs? Do you have to
Yeah,
say
and
win at all costs?
it could be, but in this case, I think it's doing its own thing. It doesn't give us the prompts in here, unfortunately, but it is a chain of thought kind of exercise. So it could just say, I want you to win this game. You cannot lose. And then it goes from there. Like, it could be that simple because it's a chain of thought exercise. It's not a simple one prompt, one answer.
Well, I think that falls into the teach your children well category, except in this case, partially
Exactly.
our children are artificial.
Maybe we should train them on just good stuff, like good people stuff.
Train your children well. Okay,
Yeah.
so if you're doing videos on Facebook, those little short videos that are appearing on Facebook, number one,
Yeah.
curse you. I'm addicted to you, and you've made my life very difficult. Facebook's gonna start deleting them after 30 days.
Well, these are lives only, not that, not something you like,
Yeah, not okay. So
recorded
not a
and
recording.
live.
So the live a
Yeah.
live one that you record and put up, or that you put up as it's live. Yeah, after 30 days, Facebook says that most interaction happens within the first couple of days or the first couple of weeks, and after that, it just like tails off entirely. So, they're gonna kill it. If you want it, download it and save it.
That's really kind of unfortunate though, right? Because it's like stuff I remember like 6 months later, and I'm like, oh yeah, that was great. I'll go back and get it, and that won't be there. But they are going to help you get your stuff downloaded. Anything you have up there now, they are going to give you warnings. Unlike this is Facebook's usually not this helpful, so glad it's being helpful. I do think though it's kind of a loss because, like on TikTok, there's a bunch of TikToks lives I love, and I love being able to go back to them. It would be kind of a shame if they weren't there anymore. I don't do Facebook lives or follow those very often, but kind of get the same feeling.
Well,
So I get why they're doing it because
I
Hey,
have
let's
three areas of susceptibility: Facebook Reels, YouTube, the shorts on YouTube, and TikTok. I can ca get caught in a loop on those things for hours on end, and then suddenly notice time has passed.
Yeah, same thing. And I do check catch up on some things in the morning and evening on Reels and TikTok. Sometimes just for fun, just humor. But so anyway, so you will have chance. But and of course, you're just probably doing this because you're going to save an astronomical amount of storage space.
Oh, it's exactly what we're doing
Yeah,
it because there's an
yeah,
astronomical amount of content that's out there. For me, it always
yeah.
starts with a roller coaster.
For me, it's a cute bunny or something.
Okay, so TikTok has restructured its trust and safety team, laid off staff in that unit. This is the group that handles content moderation. They're restructuring their entire staffing. The layoffs began the same day for teams in Asia, Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Does this have
It's
anything to do with the weirdness that ByteDance has been going through with Congress or with the U.S. government?
well, I saw a report on that yesterday because it's kind of like at the time where that's supposed to be maybe going away, but they said that Trump's just ignoring it. So that it's not good though for TikTok because it just leaves it in, suspended animation on what's its fate. I did see an analyst last night say that he believes the fate is going to be a sale because they're going to be in the suspended animation state. They won't be able to move forward. They won't be able to innovate. And so someone's going to want to buy them at that point. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I will say, though, it will be interesting because TikTok, as much as I like to watch things, is the most annoying platform to do a video on. Like I shared a comment. I mean, I even shared, I tagged another person in a comment and said, hey, go look at their page, look at this. And it got flagged for violation. All I did was say they have this on their page. Here's their page, right? Oh, and it got flagged for a violation. I appealed it. It said, okay, you didn't violate. And then it did it again. And then it said, I did violate. The moderation is bad. I mean, it's the thing that's going to make people not care about TikTok going away when it happens because, you can't say so many words. I can't say gun. I can't say abortion. I can't say someone died. I can't say suicide. I can't say that's dead. Like I'm, got you, I'm dead because funny.
If you
Like
can
just,
spell Tiananmen, can you say it? Okay.
no. You get so many things taken out. I cannot put up, I put up. Now some people do get away with it, so I don't know the difference. But like, I'll put up something, and it's just like, yeah, this is about the election. It's like content violation. You're like, what did I do? Like, this is there's not a lot. The freedom of speech issue on TikTok is pretty severe because people get strikes and you get easy strikes. You can't really appeal. There's no really easy way to appeal. The good thing is the suspensions are usually very short, a day, 12 hours a week. But imagine how like when Facebook does all this, it comes through sometimes and it just like hits everything and you're like, none of this is a violation, right? That kind of stuff. It's pretty much that. So it'll be interesting to see what these teams. Normally I would decry them, getting rid of a team like this, but maybe it'll be a good thing because their moderation in the US has been kind of just all based on China. And so it's been kind of, if you go listen to a TikTok live, you'll see what I mean. There's so many words that people have to substitute another word for, which is kind of funny because TikTok doesn't hit them for the sub word, just the main word. So there's another word for everything on the app. And if you go on it and you're doing a live or something, you have to know those so the live doesn't get taken down.
If we keep going, well, I mean, there's the same thing on X right now too. There's very little free speech on X. You have to couch your speech. And the same in many social media, on Reddit, there's code
This is
words that
different.
people have learned to use because mods will shut you
Oh.
down if you address certain topics.
Yeah.
And I know it's different because it's happening for a slightly different reason or from a slightly different impetus, but it's the same sort of effect at the end of the day. The user can't write what the user wanted to communicate.
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying the difference is they do it instantly and often and frequently on dumb things. So it's not like you got a violation for something you wrote like 6 months ago, like on Facebook, right? It's like the live that you're listening to suddenly just closes. And that's because the AI picked up some word it doesn't like it, shut it down. And there's so many common words that people use. Like dead has so many different meanings, right? But you're not allowed to say dead. I don't know why. Can't say gun. We have to say pew pew. You know, there's like all these different things you can't say. And if somebody does, it's within seconds that it comes down. Now, they may be able to come right back up, but most people on like TikTok have like 5 to 10 accounts who do lives and stuff because they get taken down so often. So it's a little bit different. You might get hit on the other platforms for something, but this is like literally in the real-time moderation by algorithms that close you down in the moment. So anyway, but it'll be interesting to see if it makes any difference, if it'll be better or worse.
So if you're an Apple user, we have to jump to the next story. If you're an Apple user and you are interested in using, I don't know, say the Google product Gemini, the only way you can use it now is to download the Gemini app itself. It used to be that you could get to it through your Google app on an Apple phone. You can't do that now. Now you have to use the Gemini, specifically the Gemini app. I'm trying in my mind, I'm speaking really slowly because I'm trying to think of a $20 billion joke.
I have to believe this is related to the antitrust with Google, but I just can't imagine what it's related to.
No, actually, I think it's related to storage and load balancing on Google's part. If you're using Gemini, that's one side of Google. If you're using Google Search, and you know, I'm getting responses from AI overviews, that's kind of like another side of Google. Excuse me. So if you're using them in the same app, then Google has to split that stream, has to figure out the intent of use and you know, send one direction, one another direction. If you have two different apps, it's much easier. That's my guess.
Possibly. I just think it's a little weird, but I think there is a legal component, but it's definitely possible the rest is in play too. They say that the Gemini app will be free to download from the Apple App Store, but if you want access to premium features like Gemini Live or a workplace app, what? It requires a Gemini Advanced subscription, and that'll be $20 a month for their One AI premium plan.
Google never promised to make our information freely available to all. They just promised to make our information available to all. Am I remembering correctly?
No.
They never said freely available, did they?
I don't remember. Yeah. But it was free.
I was going to say, well, it was, yeah, but they never said they would keep it free, because I'm telling you, $20 ain't free.
Yeah, the thing about it is, like, I'm sure someone sent a study. I'm going to see if I can find it. Like, what is the average amount someone's being nickel and dimed to death, right? Like one of my favorite apps that's been around for things I use in my daily work, been around for like 20 years. They decided they have to go to a yearly subscription model. Like, great. So if I want to use your app, now I have to pay you every year for the purpose, you know, for the privilege of using that app.
No, my heart goes out to the poor farmers who use John Deere equipment.
What's that?
Well, to use your tractor, you have to subscribe to several services, software services that are owned, operated, and absolutely controlled by John Deere. And if you don't subscribe to these services, or if your subscription expires, your tractor don't work.
You're right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And this is all wrapped up in the rights to repair movement. You might own the hunk of metal that is the tractor, but you don't own the software that runs the tractor, so you can't repair that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's I think it's a massive wormhole of issues, and that same thinking is moved into the software world, or maybe move from the software world into the real world. I'm not sure which chicken and egg way that went, but you know, if you don't have your subscription to Microsoft Office, you can't even look at an Excel file anymore, right?
Mostly. I think there's a download version, but you're right. It's almost all. I wrote about this years ago. Like, we're all gonna be tied to these for the rest of our life. You know, when I started out, you could buy your stuff and it was yours. And if you didn't have money, because maybe you were laid off, or you're, you know, doing freelance or something, you still had your tools, you know. Yep. Now this is like the guy who goes and does the, you know, the house painting, but before he goes, he has to go pay for everything to use, that, you know, he can't own anything to use. Anyway.
Years and years and years ago, I went and did a talk at Microsoft, and they gave me, I forget how much, several thousand dollars worth of company script to spend in. They could pay you directly, but they did give us Microsoft script to spend in their, for real, in their Microsoft store on campus. And I got a copy of Office 2005 that lasts me until I think 2020. Yes.
Yeah, I had HomeSite, which it was like a it was a coder, for people who did HTML and coded, but it was color coded, did really nice breaking things, whatever. So I had it for like 10 years after it no longer was a company. I was like, still works. It doesn't connect to anything, right? It's just a coder, but it's just kind of funny. Finally it did break. Finally, I got a new operating system it wouldn't work on, but. So, where to next? You want to go to ad tech?
Yeah, well, this is kind of a weird story.
Yeah.
Google, you're changing. Like, seriously, I hardly recognize you people anymore since the McKinsey boys
Right?
moved in. But like, okay, so as of now, this went against Google policies before, but the Google policies have changed because, there's new people in charge of the country or something. So now Google ad tech users can target national security decision makers and people with chronic disabling diseases.
Yeah, this is from Wired, by the way.
As I just read through the preview of this story, it's just disgusting. It's horrible. Okay, so
Google. Oh God, I was just gonna
if
read the title because it's disgusting from the title down.
well, if you want to, if okay, so if you're making like Palantir software or something thereabouts, you can go after like national security decision makers, and you can like actually target them with your ads. That's dangerous enough, especially given the new national security decision makers. Like, so if you have like a Nigerian prince or some pig butchering scam you want, you can go directly to the defense secretary, and he's dumb enough to probably fall for it. I urge you to personally, but like it's illegal to you, so you probably shouldn't.
Well, basically,
Proceed.
the little, yeah, no, yeah, no. I'm just trying to like, So basically, like, it has all this data on you, and it doesn't. I don't know in the article if I missed it, but I don't think it says where it got all the data. But basically, it's some data brokers. Okay, yeah, it's just data brokers. So people keep data on you, but somehow on Google, like, they're all offered as options. Like, you have a list of people that have endocrine disorders. And things of that nature. And that might not be so bad if it was completely anonymized, although completely anonymized is a little bit of a misnomer because you can almost always, backtrack that, reverse engineer. But in this case, apparently you don't have to reverse engineer. You can actually get to like
Holy
original.
HIPAA, Batman, it's totally open.
Yeah, well, not totally. I mean, you have to have some skill, but yeah. I mean, you'd have to get skill to get to the person's name to use the product. No, it's just part of their list. So they first obtained this from the Brit Irish Council for Civil Liberties, Ireland's oldest independent human rights body, and it reveals segments targeting hundreds of millions of device users based exclusively on health conditions from chronic pain and menopause to others like fibromyalgia, psoriasis, arthritis, high cholesterol, and hypertension. And it's, as with other demand-side platforms, advertisers are also able to upload lists to display NVIDIA 360 that they buy from data brokers. So there's all sorts of opportunities to target people on things that pretty much should be private. So, I get some things like you may want to know someone's over a certain age and maybe in menopause, but like you know that they're in menopause, that's kind of crossing the line. So basically they're using your very personal information to target you in these ad systems, these two ones that Google has. The DV30, the display and video 360, DV360. So, or maybe it's just one platform. I think I read it as two.
I imagine
So,
it's
yeah.
only a matter of time before the EU freaks out about this, number one. And number two, it's only a matter of time before somebody uses AI to create something pretty damn similar and sell it on the private market.
Well, and also what they can do in this thing when it came to the national security risks is they can target, like, is this a device owned by a soldier at such a specification, right? Or owned by,
They can't do that. I
well,
think they could, technically they could, but they can't do that. It's like, seriously.
I mean, again, they're not targeting individual soldiers. We're
You
just like
can't give that
soldiers.
information, shouldn't, like, that's insane.
I know, but it's on it. These are lists of American users accessible for price across the platform. Very serious national security concerns. As they revealed, data brokers striving to isolate millions of mobile devices carried by government workers from U.S. judges, military service members to execute executive agency staff and employees. And to give you an idea, like this isn't Facebook, but I'm just going to have a Facebook idea. When you can target people like that is we have a friend and David, I'm not going to put David's last name, but you know him. And David's employee was going to take a holiday and he wasn't telling David. So it was going to be 2 weeks and he was going to give him last minute notice, he found out by accident. So he started targeting with Facebook ads, just him individually, because he knew his email address, right? So every day the guy would pull up, he's like, are you planning a vacation and not telling your boss? You really probably should tell your boss. It's a really good thing. And they had articles and all this other stuff, right? And the guy eventually told him, he's like, I know, dude, I've been totally, you know, targeting you with those ads. But that does mean that it can be done on a grand scale to people from stranger to stranger, where, you know, and they can find, do it based on information they should not have. So Google, come on. When Google's just so not so far past the don't do evil part.
Oh,
so, and
God, yes, that flew out the window. You know, you'd think it flew out the window when they went public with stocks, and that's probably actually when it did happen. But yeah,
because,
that, God, that's so gone, so long gone.
Because now the next story is Google starts tracking all your devices as Chrome changes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, go ahead. You take it.
Okay, so you know how when you move from device to device, like, you know, you got your desktop at work and your mobile phone that you walk around with and your laptop at home and, you know, you got, you're moving from place to place to place. As long as you got a Chrome browser on each and you're logged into your Google account, Google will remember all of your digital footprints, basically your digital fingerprints, and mirror your experience from device to device to device to device. But to do that, to give you that little teeny bit of convenience, they really do some serious data tracking.
Yeah, because they're getting rid of cookies, but they're replacing them with fingerprinting, which is something Google called wrong in 2019, by the way. So it's February 16th, it's been expanded to all your devices. Smart TVs, gaming consoles, and anything else Google runs. And it's a privacy campaigners have called Google's new rules on tracking people's online a blatant disregard for privacy, BBC News reported. And so, yeah, so they're basically creating fingerprints. Fingerprints just means your activities like online. But they're using tracking. They're not using the same tracking cookies anymore. They're using the fingerprinting of what they know about you from your browser.
I noticed this the other day when I logged into a high level analytics program. But I was over at my partner's place, Shauna's, and on the laptop there, and I was signed into my Google account, but I couldn't remember my password at all. And I was like, oh man, I gotta get in, I gotta take a look at this stuff. And it was Google made it so easy, boom, boom, done. I'd never had that process before, and that got me thinking. And this is exactly the story. That got me thinking. Well, how does Google like? What kind of data are they tracking to make it that process that easy?
Yeah, and also they also track things in your phone, like your hardware and software. So your phone has I'm not thinking the right word tonight, but basically not your GPS. There's like a something in your phone that tracks location that's not your GPS, or movement, forward, backward movement. You know, if you're running, if you're standing still, that's all recorded by these items inside your phone. And they create a unique fingerprint, which can be actually tracked to a user. Not that there's something nefarious going on. I'm not saying that, but it's possible. So yeah, so there you go.
So the EU forces Google to get rid of the most common tracking method, cookies. And Google had what, 15, 20 years, longer than 20, using cookies as a primary means of completing the user journey A, B, C, D, E to Z, right?
Yeah.
EU forces them out of it and says you have what's now become almost a decade to come up with a new way of doing things. This seems to be what they've settled on.
Yeah, we'll see how long lasts. There's so many privacy violations in other countries, not ours, but in others.
Okay, this is a cool story. This one's really neat. There's as with all things about studies with AI, you have to approach this with a grain of salt. But approach it with actually a full salt shaker full of grains of salt. Because in this study, Kevin Indig looked at 19 different studies. and relatively weighed them against each other. He goes through his methodology of figuring out how to relatively weigh results from 19 disparate studies on the effects of AI, how AI affects click-through rates, how often AI gets prompt, under what circumstances it gets prompt, how you should think about information on your page in relation to AI, etc. And in doing this study, Kevin Indig has created what he calls a meta-analysis of these studies, and what I think is a really helpful document. However, when you approach the document, you approach Kevin's findings of all of these other studies, from all these other studies, you have to, how to say this? I mean, I in no way want to down on the work Kevin did, or on any of the work that people like Sierra Interactive or SEO Clarity or SEM Rush or anyone did. But this is still a new field, and there's not a hell of a lot of clues out there beyond our observation.
Well, and also it's when you see like a citation on an AI overview, there's 100 other documents back there. If you look at, there's a way to look at the expansion it used to be that they used to ground that search. So the idea that you're always going to be the one they pull is probably not a good way to base your thinking as an SEO, because they have 100 other documents and they're probably going to randomize pulling them in and out of
Well, actually, yeah. In
the
fact,
citation.
one of the stories we have a little further down on the grid talks about extraordinary volatility in AI responses as opposed to the 10 blue links.
Yeah, and we have to reiterate here, I think every time we cover one of these stories, AI overviews are predictive text. The documents they pull with them is a separate process, and it's meant to ground the AI so it doesn't tell you things like glue your pizza to a pizza. I mean, your cheese to a pizza. Your pizza to a pizza? What did I say? Your cheese to
Well,
a pizza.
in New York, you might do that as you fold it over, right? The glue sticks to each
Yeah,
other on
and
either side.
But for those who don't know, that was on early on when Google rolled things out. It said that, and if they found out it was a kid who was like, I don't know, 11 or 12 on Reddit posted that. So that is why there's really, I doubt ever going to be real stability to what you see in there, because one is predictive text, so it's not pulling information back and writing it. It's going, oh, I trained on 100 million documents. Here's what I think the most likely sentence is. And then they pull the documents back to make sure that they stay within the realm of those documents, so they're not talking about something that's not relevant to the search, right? Like if I said, glue on pizza, and it comes back with housing construction, right? Just because the predictive text has trained on that a lot. You use the grounding documents to prevent that, and prevent the hallucinations as much as possible. Even though we know, you and I both know from the story we did last week, they're like news summaries were 50% wrong.
Yeah.
When they check them. So anyway, the point just being is just remember that you are not, this is not SEO, but SEO gets you into that group of documents that they pull from most of the time. There's other ways they pull it, but most of the time SEO is your main way into the core documents they're going to pull. So you might get the citation.
So all of that said, it's still our job to have as many data points. I'm not going to say facts, I'll say data points, as we can get to draw together to try to make predictions for our clients on what will happen to their information once it goes into this black box system we call Google or Bing or Search Engines or whatever. And I think studies like this, again, you have to read them really carefully and selectively. And understand that what happens today might not be what's happening tomorrow. What happened in for the people making the observations in all 19 of these studies may be radically different than what you yourself are seeing, because this whole field is brand new. It's changing. Much of it is predictive based on your own history and I honestly have no idea how other people who also relate to the documents I'm looking at might change AI's view of those documents, but I'm pretty sure that they somehow do. But you know what I mean? There's so many different factors that we don't
The
even conceive of.
one factor that's consistent
Hmm?
is your good SEO gets you into those citations. That's consistent. We know that for a fact.
We know that because, well, because one, Google has said we use the ranked documents to figure out what we think is right and isn't right.
Well, and also because they were having so many hallucination problems. They didn't start this way. Yeah. They're having so many hallucination problems. They want to make sure they have credible documents of some sort, meaning if you're in the top 20, they're hoping you're probably pretty credible. And then they can take it from there, and they'll have less likelihood of having the amount of problems had in the beginning. You know, as we always say, drinking a half gallon of your urine for kidney stones, was it? Something like that. So that's the idea behind that. So, but your SEO is the best thing. And then people will call, like, there's GEO, generative. No, there's no generative experience optimization. It doesn't exist. That's predictive text. You can maybe go out in the world and try to, there are ways to quote hack predictive text, but just straight trying to get your client stuff into the AIO, SEO is your best way to go. And that is just standard SEO. It's good site health quality, easy to crawl. Content is matching your query intent and your user intent. Those kind of things. That will get you into that AI overview when it's possible. Because remember, there's 100 or more other documents behind what you see in the citations that they pulled for that query. So you may or may not get into it, and they may just randomize how they show those citations. They may appear and disappear, may appear and disappear, and that's just going to be actually the fact of it, not anything you can do to control it.
The fact of it is AI overview results do appear and disappear very, very frequently, in fact. So let me take a step back for a second and then ask you questions as an old-timey SEO, Christine.
Yes.
Do you even remember the longest you had, say, a position one, like you got it in August of 2008 and you still got it today? Oh, my goodness. Do you have any experiences like that?
I was with one company in 2019 who had the number one for, it was sneakers, I think, or shoes, for like 10 years.
Okay, so, and you know, with this weird sense of pride, you look at stuff like that, right? Like I got this client that's been number one forever, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they aren't, I'm not, you know, a little piece of my self-identity will die. Honest to goodness.
We live for the dopamine.
We live for the dopamine, we really do. But if you are trying to get that out of AI overview, you are going to be a depressed little SEO.
Yeah.
Apparently, within just a couple of months, within 2 or 3 months, 70% of AI overview rankings change, sort of roll over, according to Authoritas, an e-commerce SEO platform, according to a study they did. So if you're number one or number two or even mentioned at all in AI overviews today, tomorrow you might not be. There's nothing static there.
I would encourage SEOs to really start understanding process, because most people don't understand the process of how these things work. And so then they read articles like how to get into the AI overview. And then like they did all the work and 2 weeks later, it's all gone. And I see a lot of people comment about that. And it's just like we just said for the process is it goes out, you put a query in, the AI overview searches for documents related to that query like it normally would in search. And then it brings those back like it normally would in search. And then it takes those and it summarizes from them in predictive text. So yes, there may be 10 blue links, well, if they're there anymore, but there's not 10 AIO links. There could be 50, there could be 100, there could be 200, there could be 1,000, there could be whatever they decided they needed to bring back for the grounding of that query. And then you may or may not be pulled in. Now, consistently, if you're pulled in all the time, awesome. That's great. Don't change anything. but it's unlikely you're going to see yourself every time come up for that. And unlike what Jim just said about like when you rank number one for something in the blue links, you do because you fit these ranking factors and that's how you show up there. But all you do with the ranking factors in AIO is you show up in the pool of documents that they pull. And then they pull them in for citations. And there may be a second step to citations we don't know yet. I haven't heard anything said about it. In that case, you could do more to affect it. But right now, there's really not a lot you can do to affect it, except make sure your SEO is good enough to get in to those results.
You know, the best thing you can do to affect your relationship with AI overviews is to, I think, affect your relationship with the need for rankings. I haven't actually reported on rankings per se to clients for, I don't know, I mean, like almost a decade now. I report on traffic. I'm really interested in traffic. Mm-hmm. But rankings is so subjective, you know? There's no hard, fast, you're number one everywhere in the world. It doesn't work that way. And heaven help you if you report that your client's number one, but in their neighborhood, they're number three, they'll never look at you the same again. It's true. They never get that. So if you're reporting, we're number one in AIO this month, don't report that. But you can report we got X number of referrals from, and you can see that in GA form. I'm not guaranteeing the accuracy of that because I'm pretty sure that some of my clients are seeing more referrals than are being reported. But at least there's some reporting happening now.
Look at it this way. If your site is healthy, it crawls well, you're matching user intent, you're coming up in regular search, you're going to have a wider expanse to be brought into the AI overviews, right? It's not going to be like one document for one query. There might be 1,000 queries that you're eligible to be in that overview. So approach it more from that aspect and report on that. Like, we're in 20 AI overviews, not like Jim just said, you don't want to say like I'm ranking number one in AI overviews for X keyword, because it's very likely to go away the next day or even in the next 10 hours.
And one more thing, then while we're here, we're thinking about this. We often think about SEO as getting into the 10 blue links, and that's obviously a major part of it. But there's a lot of other places where your client's products can feature prominently in Google itself, in Bing, and in other search engines.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that should be part of your plan, your organic plan. It should be your like organic plan. Because Google's doing so much to change the search results. Even if you have the template link, sometimes you might be like down the next page in a scroll because they have so many, people also ask and then people also search. And then like one thing I looked at had like three of those question boxes, two snippets, one AI overview. Like there was no blue link to be found, and I was looking for a blue link, so I was really annoyed. But it was, it's like it's a scroll and a half down the page. So it also depends page design, and that's going to be going by AI. So yeah, organic traffic placement is what you're looking for. Are you in the knowledge graph? Are you in the people also ask? Are you in the hidden gems if you're eligible for that, like Reddit and Quora?
Are
So
you
you want to
taking
make
advantage of Merchant Center? Like, are
yeah.
you in shopping?
And listicles. Those were like bad SEO for a while, right? You don't do listicles. But now we know they have a block for listicles. So if they decide this query needs a listicle response, there will be a block of answers that'll be listicles. So check your search result before you start optimizing for it and look how they're laying out the page. Now it doesn't mean it's going to stay that way forever, but if it has a knowledge graph, it's probably going to still have a knowledge graph. If it has a people also ask, it's probably going to have a people also ask. So take a look at that and see what are you competing with. Because sometimes I just get a clean white page of 10 blue links. And I tell you, Jim, that makes me very happy because I don't like all the junk. But for other people, they like all the junk. And so you want to see where you're appearing on that. Are you a business that doesn't have the business profile that shows up? You want to work on that. That's where this is all organic. There's so many organic slots. So SEO, people go, SEO is dead. It's not, because SEO is expanded to you want to be in all the places that organic appears based on the quality of your website in SEO.
Absolutely. I mean, I was actually just about to pose the question, and I always know the answer. The answer is yes. Can you, through the development of content and what you consistently feed your audience, affect the way they search for your stuff? You can't have them on the first touch because that's when they're first looking for you, but afterwards, you're the one communicating a message to them. Different search engine results pages are constructed based on intent of user. So say you got a commercial, transactional, and institutional search. Well, those three different types of searches will produce different types of search engine result pages.
Exactly. So know what your goal is. Is my goal 10 blue links? That still happens. Or is my goal a page where those don't even appear at a page two on the scroll?
Okay, moving right along. There's no way to move stuff faster. There is actually, but there
Although
isn't.
we're gonna have to move faster.
Yeah, we do. Okay. There's no persistent shortcut to getting Google to crawl your site faster. I mean, the actual persistent shortcut is make a really good site that Google could read through quickly. But it's probably not going to crawl you faster. It will probably just crawl through the site, how to say this, more quickly, because it'll be relying on the rendered H or the response HTML. If your page doesn't change so often, just a quick look and gone, quick look and gone, quick look and gone.
I will say one thing though, John's not 100% right in this answer, because I were unless something changed in last week that I don't know about. John asked answered there was a someone asked because they work for a major news organization, they don't want to get recalled to get the articles into the system faster. There's a secret to that. Google has a fire hose with Twitter. So if you dump it into Twitter, it's going to be in that index in less than usually 1 minute, sometimes 5 minutes. So if you have like a bunch of stories and you're a news organization, just pump all those stories out on your Twitter feed and boom, 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 and they should show up pretty quickly. So
that's
disgusting.
The
that's the only exception. No, it's not. I mean,
yes, it is. See, yeah, that means you have to put something up on X and be Nazi
oh,
adjacent.
I know.
That's
But
disgusting.
they did the fire hose before all this happened.
Oh,
But
and
if you just,
I'm not, absolutely. But you
yeah,
know, nowadays it's
yeah.
just gross.
Yeah, I know. It's gross. I know. I'm still there, but I have reasons for being there.
So, if you get a Google local listing, good thing, by the way, if you get a Google local listing, you're going to get business, but you're also going to lose your adjacent organic listing. This has been happening in August, but it got noticed and reported on recently. So recently, in fact, that people were suggesting it was part of January's Google local update. It was not.
Which is not official, by the way. I checked with Barry. That is not an official update.
But
Life Cycle
hold on. The Google local update that everyone's reporting as the Google local update didn't actually happen as the Google local update.
Well, it might be something, but I asked Barry, was this a confirmed update? He said no. So just so you know, there's a lot of reporting of something happening, but there's no Google confirmation.
Okay. Well, even if there was, this wasn't it.
No.
So yeah, so if you have a local local listing, a Google business listing, you are not going to have a organic listing on the same search engine result page. Google will drop the organic one and slot somebody else in there.
Which before they did all the changes to maps, because they've done this before, it really wasn't a big deal because you saw on maps the name and the times and the where it was. Now it's like, here's the same 10 places. I'm only going to tell you they're in Las Vegas, Nevada. So it's kind of not good because you could go to the first link or second link and you could just click on it and get all the information you needed. So, yeah, well, that's
Okay,
fun.
this one feels skeevy. I remember there was a third or fourth tier advertising company that
That's
did
going to be
this
the title
back in
for
the
this,
day.
isn't it?
Well, maybe
You're gonna
this one feels skeevy edition. So Google is adding, or Google is seems to be is apparently adding links to review publishers, so that when you hover over one of their product results, a popular product or snippets, I'm sorry, when you hover over a popular product or snippet box appears in which there are links to different pages. Google is adding, basically Google is
another
adding
store.
links to people's pages.
Yeah, it's adding to a different store, a different review. And like example is Target, but Target has its own reviews. It doesn't need reviews from, what is it, baby something gear? But yeah, they are adding that in. That is Eevee.
Yeah, who
Yeah.
does that? Like,
Yeah, that's
and
like when
why?
some, I don't know, because it could just go straight to the user reviews from the actual site. These aren't tiny sites that don't have do reviews or don't have reviews. But yeah, I guess we're linking to like sites that do full reviews, but then just link to it. Don't make it look like it's an individual review. I don't know. That's skeevy.
Okay, so Google
Another
is
song.
showing Yandex reviews on
Okay.
Google Business Profile listings. I didn't think Yandex had anything to do with the Western world right now.
I thought, yeah, I'm sorry. I did not have time to look this up before we got on air or on tape or whatever we're on streaming. But I thought Yandex was dead.
No. Yandex is alive and well. It's the Russian number one search engine. No, it's totally alive and well. It's just
Okay.
not to be touched with a 10-foot or 20-foot pole. But Google wasn't. Google had nothing to do with Yandex, as I understood it for the longest time. But now Yandex reviews are appearing on Google in Google results, and maybe it's just a sort of a new world thing.
Oddly, all in English. The
Okay.
ones that there's an image of, they're all in English. I just thought that was funny. It sounds more like just somewhere where fires got crossed and location dependent.
Well, again, I'm just surprised to see
Me too.
Yandex pretty much
Yeah.
anywhere.
Yeah,
Okay, we
same here.
need to move through stories. We're closing time very quickly.
Okay, we want me to take leave?
Yeah, go for it.
A Google search results snippet test page includes, which is page includes is a line that goes under your SERP that literally says page includes purpose and style, instruction support basics and types. I don't know why you need this. Like, If they're replacing our descriptions already, just put it there. It's very weird looking. It's the bold. Do you have anything to say on that? It's
Not
odd.
really. So
Okay.
Google Merchant Center is now putting in AI generated summaries.
Yep. Oh, that's all we have to say about that. Like, it's experimental and quality and accuracy may vary. These are our fast stories, by the way, people. Google business profile verification failure email with reasons. If your verification fails, they're going to tell you reasons
Which
and
is
you have
so
some.
much better.
Yes,
Because
it's
before they didn't.
amazing.
They just
No, they
failed
didn't.
you. And you're like, well, what'd you fail me for? And they're like, well, they didn't
Oh
say anything.
no. That's from the SNL character. Oh no. What? I don't
Yeah.
know.
You're just going.
Yeah, just good. Next one, Google search testing new pagination bar. Pagination bar. I cannot speak today. Sorry, people. It's been a
Without
long week.
number, that's weird.
What
So
numbers?
you won't know if you're on the third, fourth, or fifth page. Well, maybe you will. This won't be numbers.
Why? Just why? Why? Sometimes I think they just sit
Because
there and make stuff up. It's just a big Google. You know how
numbers
the
are for
Google goes?
smart people, Christine.
You know how it goes GOOGLE at the
Yep.
bottom of the page? There, that's it. And then a
Well.
forward backwards. The reason the numbers and the reason pagination works on search is people have a map in their brain of where they were. And that's why people don't like the scroll, infinite scroll that went away, because they don't know where they are on the page. So now I'm just going to figure out which yellow zero I clicked to know what page I'm on.
Numbers are
And
for people who
why?
like fact, and fact is a four-letter
Why?
F word, Christine.
We really need a section. It's just like, why? I don't understand it. I have no
Yeah.
idea why they're doing it. Google audio version of a page does not benefit your Google rankings.
Say what?
What? Sorry,
So
people are shocked.
sounds like that's not a good shortcut.
Martin Slip from Google said that having an audio version of a page or a blog post does not impact your Google rankings. Good for users. It is actually really good for users who don't have time to read sometimes. It has no SEO impact. That kind of makes sense because even on a YouTube video, they only listen to what, the first 30 seconds? Is that changed? So they would have to do a lot of data storage at a very high cost to like have these matter for search. So it totally makes sense. But they really are good for users. I know when I go into an article and I'm like stressed for time, I can just hit that listen button and then walk out with my headphones. So they are good to have.
Okay. This one is
WordPress.
great. For those of
Well, I
us
see this. You
who
love this one.
hate to re-register the domains, this story's for you. WordPress is offering a 100-year domain name registration. It's going to cost you $2,000, but you get to secure your domain name for a 100-year period.
You know what? It has no expiration surprises, no lost domains due to admin mistakes, no stress about renewals. This is their pitch. Full century of security for your domain, one step set up 100 years of ownership. Now, who owns WordPress.com? Who
I'm pretty
could
sure
that
that's
be?
that would be Matt. I'm pretty sure
Who
that's
could
Matt.
that be? So, what do you think Matt's doing? Matt's raising money for something.
For what it's, I mean, like the web is what, 35 years old. So the commercial web is about 35, maybe 40 years old. So this, if you were to have registered domain for 100 years at the dawn of the commercial web, you'd still have 60 years on the registration.
I mean, I could see that for something historic, right? Like you created a historic site and you wanted to be here in 100 years and you're going to pass it down through family, but you don't want them to have to pay for it. I get that. But it's Matt Mullenweg, it's WordPress, and he's raising money for something. It's going to be my guess on why he's doing this. And if you don't know about the Matt story, this is the first time you listen to us, go back and see where the WordPress drama stories are, and you can hear the whole thing. It's been going on for a year. So Bing tests knowledge panels with related searches box. We have to put Bing in here. We don't put him in enough. They're really trying. So Bing has
Who?
their they
Oh,
gained
Bing!
share.
Them!
They
Yeah,
gained
Bing!
share. Yeah, they gained some share this past year. They actually they popped above the like little flower popping above the surface. They're testing a new box to the knowledge panels, which will show related searches. Basically, when you see like a Google medical search and you have that little colored box that goes with it, it's kind of like that underneath the AI. It's cute. It's not cluttery. I don't know if they need it, but because it's a related search with a title and a full description and then a link. Google does this too. Actually, Bing's presentation I think is better than Google's. They usually do these presentations better than Google, but that's it. It's just extra info on the page, so you don't leave. And then we got down to our last story, Jim.
No, I got one more afterwards, but mine's
Oh,
real
okay.
quick.
Okay. So Google search find results based on images you've viewed. So if you viewed images in image search, now it's placing a button there that says find results based on images you viewed. That's really long for the web page. And to a link with more like these. And so I think it already does this. So I'm not really sure the benefit, but maybe it's just because it's a different interface with a big old button. They think that might have people use it more.
I think, but, you know what? I think it's because people are really image oriented. They will jam this button like they will a click button at a casino, and it creates more advertising real estate.
Oh, you're right. It does. Yeah, you're right. That would be the reason, because it already does this, but it doesn't do it quite as obviously. So yeah, so that's, I think, all on our list.
No, I got something. One more quick one. I wish I'd put this on the grid, but it wasn't actually mentioned anywhere. I just noticed this myself.
Sorry.
Go to google.com. Just open a Google browser. Don't type anything into the search window, okay? Into the query window.
Yeah, hold on.
You should get two little buttons underneath the query window. One says Google search, the other says I'm feeling lucky, okay?
Yeah. Curious.
Mouse over, I'm feeling lucky.
Oh, no, it changes. No.
Yeah, do you see that now?
I'm playing playful. I'm feeling curious.
I'm feeling
it
doodly.
Randomly picks a phrase. Yeah.
I'm feeling funny. I'm feeling trendy. So yeah, okay. I have no idea what any of that does, but there Google, you go. Google has changed that little doggle, the I feel lucky doggle.
I'm feeling trendy takes you to Google Trends. I'm feeling stellar takes you to images of space. I'm feeling, it's just random, guys. You can't decide what it lands on. I'm feeling artistic takes you to Google Arts and Culture. I didn't even know that's a thing. How did I not know that's a thing? Google Arts. Did you know Google Arts and Culture was a thing?
You
that's
could
literally
be
the domain.
You could
Arts
be,
and Culture.
You could, yeah, you could be surprised after Google's Be Evil week this week. But if you put something into the search query box, the little doggle does not change. You will constantly feel lucky, and that will go to the top result for that search query. But if you don't, you might be able to explore some of the weird subpages inside Google system.
So interestingly, I'm feeling funny takes me to a whole page about Chandler Bing, which is funny, but not what I expected from funny. I expected humorous stuff. Yeah, so it's like I feel adventurous. Doodly is Google Doodle.
Is that a poke at Bing itself? That's kind of funny.
I don't know, but I think it's interesting. Unfortunately, you can't control it, so I can't tell if you do it twice if you get the same thing, because it doesn't go back to the same one yet. So, and they have one with googly eyes. Okay, we can end on googly eyes. I love googly eyes. You know, those people that went in that one town where they put googly eyes on everything in the town. And
they're my heroes. I swear to goodness, anyone who does that is a hero of mine.
The town got mad at them, and I understand, because the adhesive, you know, did cause some problems. But still, going down your town and seeing googly eyes on, like, your stop signs, I think
your nearest statue of George Washington needs googly eyes right now.
I'm five, and we need humor.
If there is
right
ever
now.
A time that a statue of George Washington or any of the founding fathers needed big, big eyes, like eyes wide open.
Eyes that
right
shake.
About now.
Eyes that shake. They shake. Googly eyes. Anyway, so that's our last story.
And that was our last story. We've gone full clock. So friends, you have been listening to Webcology, recorded live to podcast on the 20th of February, 2025. On behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hatcher from Digital Always Media. Be well. Keep your heads above water. Keep hoping forward. Rank well. Be really kind to each other. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign. It's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.